Well, I think that the opportunity to learn behind Russell Wilson, we saw how that benefited Patrick Mahomes, for example, when he sat behind Alex Smith. But I think as a mentor, it's a particularly bright one, and in a sense, we're restarting Paxton's career. He went to Denver. He does two things extraordinarily well in addition to whatever else a quarterback does. And one is he throws moving outside the pocket, and at his height, it's sort of amazing to watch him scamper, and he throws on the run. The other thing he does is he has a great deep touch. And in Denver's offense, neither of those skills were highlighted. It just wasn't in their scheme. And so when we look at Seattle's offense, we think he fits much better. And it's a great organization. So, you know, having Pete Carroll and being in that circumstance, I think Paxton was a first-rounder. We thought he'd be a franchise quarterback. I think he still will be one day, but this is a good place for him to be.
Well, you bring up a great point, Lee. I don't think there could be a better mentor for him in Russell Wilson. Tell us, what kind of a guy is he off the field?
He has a very funny sense of humor. He's very family-oriented, so I used to say that to represent his values, it's faith, family, friendship, and football. So he's very family oriented. He's very spiritual. He's got a killer sense of humor, and I think people will enjoy him. And again, he didn't get much of a chance in Denver, because what would happen is they'd play him one game, and then he'd sit down for 10 games. They'd play him another game and he'd sit down for for a while. And what you need as a quarterback is to get a rhythm and to keep seeing the field consistently enough over and over and over again so that it slows down. And that just happens with time. So he was not in an offense that particularly suited him. But I think they're getting someone who's got incredible potential. They'll love him as a person, and he'll be a sponge just trying to learn and then, if necessary, to take the reins for a game.
Lee, a couple of questions. First, when he was first drafted in Denver, did you think that was the right fit for him? And then, if so, when did that turn?
I thought it was a great organization for him because they had just won the Super Bowl. And at that particular time, they had a real system for success from the front office to John Elway. Since then, things have not gone so well there. And when we saw the offense, which had a lot of outs and short passes, it just didn't seem to fit him very well, and it didn't highlight what he could do best. In other words, he can throw a bomb, he can scamper around and throw off the run, but it, for whatever reason, you know, he appreciated his time there, but I think this will be better for him.
Lee, how has he handled being a first-round pick who hasn't quite worked out yet?
It's been frustrating for him, and I mean, he's aware of the fact that of what his peers from that same year, you know, have done. You know, he's aware of the fact that Jared Goff and Carson Wentz were in his draft class, but you know, he's got a real sense of inner stability. And what happened this year was he got cut, but we were sitting on a $1.3 million guaranteed contract. So it took the pressure off, even though he was dying to play, but it took the pressure off of just signing with someone where it wouldn't have gone well. And we got the opportunity to – Seattle was a team that we thought had interest when he came out his draft year. And we've always sort of had our eye on that situation. And so when the opportunity came, we jumped at it.
What about the criticisms in Denver? I don't know if these are rumors or not, but saying Paxton Lynch had a poor work ethic, problems getting the playbook down, and playing video games too often.
Well, the last thing you mentioned seems to be a national pastime, right? And more players play Fortnite than anything. He's got a great work ethic. He's anxious to learn and participate. He's dedicating his life at this point to football. And I think they'll be very pleased with how tenacious he is and how committed he is to putting in the hours to learn the playbook. He had not played college football. He didn't get into the quarterback business till, you know, sort of late in high school, and he didn't have as many years starting as some people did. So it's not a surprise that, yeah, there was an adjustment process that was going to occur in terms of him picking things up. But you watch him. He'll when someone doesn't become elevated to the level they think he should play at, there are all sorts of theories, but I think you'll find him an enthusiastic hard worker.
We're talking to Lee Steinberg here. We're really grateful for him spending a little bit of time. Lee, you've been in this business for an awful long time. You've seen an awful lot of changes in the league. It seems this week specifically, there's a lot of talk about offense and that being the future of this league. You have the top four scoring teams in the league that are the final four teams. From your vantage point, a guy who's represented some of the very best Hall of Fame quarterbacks that are out there, do you think we are entering a new era of offense in the NFL?
I just wrote an article for Forbes on this topic, and which will run tomorrow, and I absolutely think that this is a different era of football. When I started, they would run the ball on first down, run the ball on second down, and then maybe throw it on third down. And the maxim was defense wins championships. Well, if you look this year, two of the most highlighted games were the Chiefs versus the Patriots, and I think that was 44-40. And the other most highly watched game was Rams versus Chiefs, and that was like 50-something to 50. And if you look at those four teams, it's not coincidental. It has never happened before that the four most offensive-oriented teams were teams that are in the final, because it's a pass-happy game. It's an offensive game. There are rules changes that hamper defensive backs. There's a new crop of quarterbacks that has been trained since youth, which didn't used to happen. They now go to 7-on-7 camps and passing camps, and college offenses have become more sophisticated. So these players have hit the league, and there's a whole new generation of quarterbacks playing at a high level that are younger. So if you look at the over-under for the games this weekend, they're like 56 and 55. So the Las Vegas is predicting these will be high-scoring games. Now, if you take the teams that had the best defense, fundamentally, one of them didn't make it, which was one of them did not make it, and then every other one got knocked out in the playoffs. So that has to speak to something. I mean, fans love it. It's very exciting, but it's such a difference from if you went back 20 years. It's more evocative of the old American Football League.
All right, Lee, so I played from 87 to 95, and, you know, you're talking about going back 20, 25, 30 years. How have players, this is a general question, but how have players changed, or have they really over the years? Because, you know, you get to be our age, and it's like, oh, kids these days. I'm just curious, like, has the typical football player pretty much like they always were, or how are they different?
You know, there's a great quote by like Socrates a couple thousand years ago where he says the youth of today, you know, is unfocused, they're listless, they don't have a sense of responsibility. But they have changed because of the way in which they're raised. So you now have a generation of youth that is raised on social media, big screen computers with sound and color coming off of it, multitasking, and it attenuates or shortens attention span. So you better get it out quickly to this generation because the focus is not quite there generationally, but you still have very dedicated players who are understand the price, the work ethic that it takes to make it, but they play more video games. They are on every platform from Snapchat to Instagram to Facebook, and I think it has a subversive effect on attention span.
Lee, I'm just curious. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks will have a negotiation this summer, and there's talk that he'll be making $35 million a year once all is said and done. What year do you think it'll be when we're talking about a $50 million quarterback?
Well, it's coming because what you've seen now is that the football quarterbacks are finally rivaling the highest paid players in other sports. It's a quarterback-centric game, and you can't win in contemporary football without a franchise quarterback. So let's define that as someone that you can build around for 10 to 12 years, that you win because of rather than with, and most importantly, someone who in adversity, they've thrown a couple interceptions, the crowd is booing, the center's looking at the quarterback like he's on hallucinogens, and the game's getting out of hand. Can that quarterback elevate, compartmentalize, adopt a quiet mind, and elevate his level of play to take a team to and through the Super Bowl? If you have a quarterback like that, it's really important to lock him up, you know, for a long time. If you really think about all the negotiations you can remember, there's rarely ever been a tempestuous quarterback negotiation. They want to sign him long term. The money in the league from television is going up. The gate is rising. The off the field revenue opportunities are flourishing, and football now dominates American culture. Because if you look back, every week NFL nighttime football is rated over every other form of entertainment. So as the money keeps going and the position keeps becoming more and more critical in a quarterback-centric league, you know, it won't take too long. You have Wentz and Goff will be up this year. In a year, Patrick Mahomes will be ready for an extension. So I think you just see it soar and soar. The irony, of course, is that it sort of eliminates the middle class in football because if you're paying players at that rate at critical positions, you then have to have players at the minimum making up the majority of the roster.
He is Lee Steinberg. Lee, congratulations. We're excited to see what your client Paxton Lynch does here in Seattle, and we're really grateful for you spending the time with us this afternoon.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.